Welcome to New Every Day. I'm Jeff Wesson, and that good-looking guy over there is Lawrence Cruz.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for that. I'll take it. It's not even my birthday. What do you know? Friends, we do have an exciting show for you. We have some special guests with us, our good friends, Jeff and Renata Walton, who are real live missionaries, right now appointed to the Village of Hope in Malawi, Africa. And so we're going to learn about who they are, how they got to be missionaries, their transition in life from Canada into Africa. We're going to learn the value of prayer and much more.
This is New Every Day with Jeff Wesson and Lawrence Cruz.
As a teenager, I remember hearing missionaries talking about their work at Village of Hope and thinking to myself, man, I would love to do that someday.
It was a big step to take our four very small children to Malawi and to ask him to use us. We were just regular people, and we felt God calling us to learn how to live by faith. Kauma is a community that is very vulnerable. Many of the children living in the community come from broken families. That leaves the community at such a disadvantage when most of the children are being parented by only one adult. And that's not even counting the orphans.
What we do is provide opportunities for quality education. We have a healthy feeding program every day where the children receive a very nutritious meal. And we have a healthcare program, so if kids get sick or have some other healthcare need, they're able to access that through Village of Hope. Village of Hope has a wonderful way of partnering with families so that the needs of their children are met while maintaining respect and dignity, and to give these families the opportunity that they wish their child would have anyways. The future at Village of Hope Malawi is really exciting. In the last year, we've bought a new piece of land. It's about 3 acres.
The reason we are developing the land is because the program is growing. The people are already there, the children are already there, and now we're working to get caught up with the buildings that we need to support them. Every day it's worth it. The constant things that we have to deal with, the sweating, the working, the striving, the tears, the challenges, to know that a family is staying intact because of Village of Hope is just incredible.
Friends, it's so good to have Jeff and Renata Walton with us today. They're our good friends from Malawi, Africa. We're going to dive into the world of missionaries. We have some real live missionaries with us here today. And how did they get there? Why are they still there? What do they do? What does the missionary do anyway? We're going to discover all of this and more today on our show.
So thanks so much for being here. Now, for anybody who doesn't understand what a missionary is, they're going, all right, fill me in. First off, what is your job description? What would you say you are as a missionary?
You answer that one.
I guess I would have to say that a missionary is just someone who says yes to what Jesus asks us to do, us as Christians. And in our context, that is an orphan care program in Malawi. And through Village of Hope, we provide healthcare, education, nutrition, and discipleship. So that is what our job description is as a missionary in the context we're in.
Excellent. Now, before we get into what all you're doing in Village of Hope and all the exciting stuff that God has been making happen through you and your ministry, which I can't wait to get to, I want to go right back to the beginning. Before you jump down this road to say, we're going to become missionaries, there has to be a point where God puts that little inkling in your heart that says, I have something planned for you. I created you for a purpose, and I want you to dive into that purpose. And you might not know what it is, but when was that moment for the two of you as a couple, or did it come individually? How did you get to that point where you said, I think this is where we need to go?
Okay, that's a great question, because that applies to every one of us, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. We who follow the Lord, we've said yes, we want to do what He wants us to do. It's like, and it can seem like a great big step to get there. Well, we understand that. That is, it is a big step sometimes. Mm-hmm. And yet, people are doing it. I'm fascinated to hear what you've got to say to that.
Yeah, I guess I can jump in on that one. As a teenager, really, is when I started to feel the call pretty strong in my life to missionary service. And I think for Renata, it was a little bit later. Though she was already planning on engaging in full-time ministry, for her, she didn't realize we'd be flying halfway around the world quite at that point. But, as a young teenager in youth group, seeking Jesus, asking Him what was next for me, what pursuits I should have, that's when I really felt like, okay, Jesus can actually use somebody like me. And that's where it all really started for me.
Okay.
So it's in the youth group, in a local church somewhere.
Yeah.
What, did you hear a message, was it? Were you reading a book? Was it the influence maybe of a relationship from a worker, a pastor? You know, well, how did you get to that point where you thought, hey, even me? Would you remember? Was it a specific time?
Yeah, I do remember. I was on the phone with my lovely wife, who at that time was just my lovely girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, I know. I wanted to ask a little bit about how that came. That'll be another show,
that's
not
right.
Two. Anyway, back to the missionary story.
Right. So, really, it was talking together about our hopes and dreams for life that I really finally heard clearly from the Lord that He wanted to use me.
So you must have been well into your adult years already, or how old were you at this point?
I had just finished high school, so like 17 turning 18,
oh, okay.
Yeah, somewhere there.
All right.
So, yeah, from there it was just a matter of planning out my education and getting trained with proper theology and also engaging with a cross-cultural bent on what I was learning so that I could just know better how to engage cultures outside of my own Canadian culture and better relate to the people that God would lead me to someday down the road.
Yeah, amazing.
Okay, now did you guys as a couple jump into it right away? Was there a period of time where, you know, you kind of got married, you did your own thing just to, you know, explore this new adventure of, you know, being newlyweds, or was it right from the get-go, this is what we're pursuing, and that was a driving factor?
Yeah, we knew right from the beginning of our marriage that this would be a goal, a plan, and we had 5 years. We gave God a timeline, which is silly.
You are an organized person, but I didn't know it went that far.
And yeah, so within that time, we wanted to pay off debt, and nice. Buy a house and have a kid or two. Mm-hmm. And by the time we actually got onto the field, it was about 9 years into our marriage.
Okay.
And 4 kids.
Wow.
Well, you got to pass the time. Okay, so 4 kids. Did that make the decision to become missionaries that much harder to be able to take a family into field?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not just newlyweds with no other responsibilities. You've got 4 people.
Here's another way to ask that question. Are you nuts? Right? You must have heard that. You're doing what with these kids? You're going where? Right?
Yeah.
True.
We did hear that a lot. And the first time we came to Canada on home assignment, I remember seeing our prayer card on someone's fridge from when we had first left.
Right.
And yeah. I looked at that with that tiny baby, and I thought, those people are crazy.
You mean, and that was your picture?
That was our picture. And, you know, a friend of mine said, well, to be honest, I thought you were crazy.
Yeah.
And we didn't get a lot of people actually saying it to us when we were leaving, but sure. I think a lot of people were thinking it.
Yeah.
But just to answer Jeff's question, you know, did it make it harder? The truth is we had known from a young age, before getting married even, that this was something God had put into our hearts. Mm-hmm. And so we just had to trust him that whoever else came along with us, however many, they would also, that he would care for them the same way we knew he would care for us.
Right.
And I think, like, I'd even say in some ways it made the decision easier, as crazy
really?
As that sounds, because we wanted our kids to see us living out our faith. And we really did believe that God would keep them safe and keep us safe and be with us through any adversity we faced. And we wanted to live a life where we were trusting God daily, and we wanted our kids to be part of that.
Right. Okay. Now, before we get into the transition of going to Africa, I know that for yourself, Jeff, there was kind of a pinnacle moment where in that journey that was 5 years that turned into nine, where there was a bit of a struggle, so to speak, with God, are you still going to do this? I want to hear a bit about that.
Sure, yeah. You know, I remember those days so clearly, and I had entered into a career as a plumber. I was working for a great company. I was making good money, and I loved my work. And I remember we were actually looking at upgrading our house. We just had a townhouse. We were wanting to get like a bungalow with some more space. And we really just came to this point where we really felt the Lord saying to us, reminding us of those earlier dreams and saying, you can go down this path of the Canadian dream and doing your career and that sort of thing, but what about what I spoke to you about as a young man? And are you ready to engage that life? And that was a turning point. And so around that same time, our church did a missions trip to the Dominican Republic. And I was on that team, and I had the privilege of preaching in a church down there. Pastor Lawrence, he was on that trip with me. And after the service, the missionary who was there just came up and said, I just feel like the Lord saying to me this verse, and I don't know what it's about, and I have no idea what's going through your life and right now, but it comes from the book of Mark, and Jairus comes to Jesus, and his daughter is sick, and
good story.
You know, he's begging Jesus, come, please come and help my daughter, and on the way, Jesus runs into that lady who is bleeding, and he stops to help her. And, you know, he turns to Jairus and he says to him, don't be afraid, just believe. Mm-hmm. And it was just those simple words that totally rocked my world, because I was so full of fear and worry and concern for my family, my career. I was giving up a lot. But when that missionary, who knew nothing about me, told me that they felt God wanted me to know that, it just quieted all of those fears.
Wow, right.
And totally gave me the strength that I needed to take the step with my family of investigating, hey, what happens if we really do become missionaries?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So awesome.
That's quite a story. Do you remember that? Like, what's your perspective, Renata? When Jeff was going through that, you were going through it.
Yeah, I think I had been waiting for a long time, waiting for him to be ready.
Yeah.
And when he went on that trip, we only had two children, and the youngest one was just about 4 months old. And so when he came back, he said, okay, it's time. Let's start filling out paperwork and making application to become missionaries. And I just felt relieved. Yeah, because we had been weighing the options, right? Do we stay? Do we go? And just to have that other missionary just doing her normal day-to-day life, speak that word that she definitely heard from God,
yeah,
to give to Jeff, that just calmed all of the concerns that he was feeling. It was such a relief. I felt relieved that finally, okay, we can go now.
Interesting.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
thank
awesome.
God.
Now we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to hear about that transition from life in Canada moving to the wilds of Malawi, Africa.
Stick around for more from New Every Day.
For a limited time, get your hands on limited edition shirts from the Category 5 TV Network. These high-quality shirts are manufactured by Teespring, a fundraising website, and your purchase will help support the shows we produce. Get yours today and send us your pictures to be featured on the corresponding show. Visit cat5.tv/shirts to support us and get your official network shirt today. cat5.tv/shirts.
Well, we're back with our friends, missionaries, Jeff and Renata Walden. Now, you need to know something about Jeff. It's J-E-F. It's only one F, friends. And he tells us, do you know how much time in my life I'm going to save over not writing that extra F?
And ink.
And ink. Yeah. Well, I see. So that's who you've got with us here today. We're thrilled to be learning about the real life of real live missionaries, Jeff and Renata. That's Jeff with one F.
I've got two Fs in Jeff.
Hey,
so
another
think
Jeff.
Think of how much time I'm wasting in my life. Now, before the break, we were talking about the call into ministry, the call into missions, and that pinnacle moment where God said, don't be afraid, I've got this. And so as a family with four kids in tow and young, yeah, and I think your youngest was, what, 2 months at the time?
Yep.
Yeah, so you pack everybody up, you sell off all your possessions. I mean, I remember the garage sale, yeah, and the, hey, does anybody want this? And, you know, it was such a altering of your life in order to take that leap of faith and trust God. You know, to get on that plane and then get off and be devoured by lions, you know, in Africa. What was that perspective like? And did you get eaten by lions?
You're looking pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge transition to go from the cold Canadian weather to the very hot Malawian sunshine. And you know, my job before I left Canada was in administration, and going to Malawi is in administration. So those things were fairly similar. It's just the cultures could not be more different. So trying to understand, learn a new language, so many things that, you know, we hadn't really understood when we got on the plane, quickly became reality when we got off the plane.
Even with all of the preparation, there was lots of new, was there?
Oh, sure, tons. Definitely. Yeah.
That interesting.
Okay, so what was the biggest challenge in the first couple of days? Was it simply language barrier? Was it that separation from home and all that is familiar? Like, because, I mean, I think back to before the break when God said, don't be afraid, you know, you step off that plane and there's legitimate fear because of the unknown. And what was that biggest challenge that you had to face as missionaries?
I think like some of just the obvious ones, like transportation. Here we are, six people. We don't have a vehicle big enough to get us around. There was a pickup truck that we could drive, but it wouldn't fit all of us. And then we had to find a vehicle and buy it and leave our kids alone with a family friend had come with us, and thank God for her, but still we're leaving them alone in Africa. We don't know what's what to expect, really, and that was hard for me, not to mention I was the one driving a standard on the other side of the road, so
well, you were used to that other side of the road stuff anyway, weren't you?
No.
Okay, sorry, that also is another show.
Okay,
there you go. Yeah, so here I am, shifting with the other hand, trying to navigate the roads, you know, there's no electricity half the time, so the street lights aren't turned on. Yeah. There's roundabouts. There's no stop signs at four-way junctions. You know, it's a bit of an everyman for himself sometimes on the roads. And that was hard, like getting used to that. It was sink or swim.
Yeah, that's right. I just think, too, it was the hottest time of the year when we arrived. And that sounds kind of a whiny thing to say, but with tiny children and trying to help them adjust to those temperatures was a challenge. But Jeff made an observation that really, especially those first few weeks, we felt carried. Like we really felt that the prayers of God's people were carrying us through these times. Yeah. And Jeff said, you know, so many people are praying for us.
Yeah.
And I think we do ourselves a disservice by focusing prayer on, you know, these pinnacle moments. If we prayed for each other the way we pray for a new missionary when they leave, can you imagine the victory that Christians would be able to enjoy every single day?
Yeah.
Because even we went through those challenges, but we saw time and time again that God provided, He answered, He protected, He cared. It was an unbelievable feeling that I've never experienced before or since, of just having a real sense that we were being carried by the prayers of God's people.
Yeah. Renata, you bring something to my memory now. I grew up in church listening to these stories of missionaries just like you, and someone would be wakened in the middle of a night, usually because of a time change or something like that. And I remember being impacted because they were saying they were awakened, they were compelled to pray. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, that has recently happened to you.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So I was in a very rural location driving in Malawi, and a car had come very close to my car, and I swerved out of the way, and he went off the road. And I was with a number of my coworkers, and they said, oh, it's fine, let's just continue. Like, there's no accident. He went off the road, but his car is fine. So we carried on, and we kept driving, and it must have been 45 minutes later. That driver of the truck had gotten onto a motorcycle and had overtaken us on the road and stopped his motorcycle in front of my car.
Wow.
And jumped off of the bike onto my van. Pounding
like right on the hood?
On the windshield. Yeah, he jumped right onto the hood. And it was terrifying. Yeah. I can't, it's hard to explain. But after I got home, you know, I had a real sense that I don't know how it will end up, but I know I will be safe and I'll be in my own bed tonight. And I got an email from just, you know, an average guy who works as a church janitor down in another city here. And he said, I woke up in the middle of the night at this time because I needed to pray for you. And I'm not kidding you. It was the same day that all of this was happening.
Wow.
And, you know, I actually just saw him this past weekend. And he said, I just want you to know I haven't had any middle of the night promptings. I said, oh, I'm really glad to hear that. But, yeah, the Lord, He uses the body to protect us and to keep us safe. And it's just been amazing.
And that's awesome. I'm hearing you say, Renata, just how important it is to have that prayer support. You're watching today. You may have wondered, I could never do what Jeff and Renata are doing. Well, that might be true, and yet maybe you could be the one. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what you know you can do, and I can do this, is you can say, Lord, I'm willing to pray for these missionaries. And through relationship with missionaries, I've learned it's not just a cliche. It means the world of difference. It can be the difference between life and death. And you watching right now, you're willing to have the Lord speak to you and pray. Well, go ahead and do it. And here's, you might be saying, well, how do I know? I'll tell you what, if someone comes to your mind, you go ahead and call out to God on their behalf, because it won't be the devil put in that in your heart. And when you cry out to God, you're going to be part of God's kingdom, part of His plan of making somebody else's life fantastic. Prayer does make a difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And with all that you have gone through in this experience of, you know, giving up the life in Canada and becoming missionaries in a foreign country. Just before we wrap up today's show, is there a story or some sort of anecdotal piece that kind of brings some delight to the situation? You know, whether it's something funny or just a real victory moment, something that made you go, "That's why I'm here." Mm. You know, is there anything just to finish us off on a high note that way?
Well, we have so many. I'll start by saying that.
Okay.
And, I'll tell a recent story. We had a team come from Canada, and it was pretty hectic, busy, lots of things going on. And I remember I was driving to the center, and it's in a slum location. Mm. But right around it are built these very large homes that have been basically built with stolen money. And I remember driving by them and thinking, that's discouraging.
Yeah.
And just garbage everywhere. Oh, that's discouraging. Oh. And, so much poverty and feeling really heavy in my spirit. And I got to the center at Village of Hope, which is actually at a local church. And all the doors were shut and it was totally quiet. And I opened the door, and inside were about 70 children sitting down, eating their porridge for the morning. And it was like every burden that I had picked up on the way there just fell off.
Yeah.
Because I was reminded again, this is why we're here.
Right.
It's not about these bad things or the terrible things. And yes, there are all kinds of pressures and, just sinful things going on. But to see those children in that moment, just quietly, everyone eating together, it was just beautiful.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Wow, that is great.
All right, well, we got to wrap it up for today, but we want to continue this conversation next week with the Waltons. We want to hear where God is taking them, hear a little bit about what they're doing now with Village of Hope and all the exciting opportunities that have presented themselves. So you don't want to miss it. Join us next week. Thanks for being here. I'm Jeff. We have Renata. Jeff with one F, and Lawrence, have a great week.
With one L.
See ya.
Catch a new episode of New Every Day every Friday morning at neweveryday.tv. We're also on Roku, Kodi, Plex, YouTube, Google Play Music Podcasts, and Facebook. Or if you're in Southern California, tune in every Sunday morning at 6:30 on KBVB-TV Channel 33, television for the high desert.